Especially, I'm preaching to Christians, especially since Jesus died to wipe away any of those curses. That's what I'm trying to explain to us. How curses work. I don't have all the time to go into the details. In fact, my time is fast running out, all right? So I really need to pick up some speed. But I'm trying to emphasize to us that please, curses don't work outside your hands. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You have to deliberately connect with them. Something has been in my family, 6 generations. Let me explain something to you. As Christians, you don't have a family for 6 generations. Your family is generally like 1 or 2 generations. That is you of Jesus Christ, of God. That's all. If you want to go through Abraham, it is you, Abraham, and God. Whichever way you want to connect it, it not pass like that. So your heavenly father did not leave a curse for you. You know what he left for you? A blessing. In fact, when Jesus was coming, he said, I will send the Holy Spirit. He didn't say I will send a curse. Do you understand my point? So the Holy Spirit has come. That's all he has for you. The one your natural ancestry has. That's what I'm just addressing. Because sometimes people go around trying to break curses. Listen to me. I want to say something to you today, all right, in the little time that I have. Let me just make some statements clear. One, there was a time God sent his... Now, you are going to say, Pastor Bank, we know this one, Ahafa. But apparently, you know, I said something the other day. No matter the intellectual knowledge you have of spiritual things, until it affects your everyday decision-making process, you know nothing. Do you get my point? Uh-huh. No matter how much you have in your head, the truth is that you know nothing, except it is affecting how you make decisions every day. So let's get that one clear. So I'm going to go over some basic things. One time came, God sent his only begotten son, and his name is Jesus Christ. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Some simple statements. One day he was betrayed by a man named Judas, and he was taken to the cross. And on the way, they beat him very well. As well depicted by the man Mel Gibson in his film, The Passion of the Christ. And then they nailed him to the cross, and all the blood in his body drained, and then he died. And the reason why he died, why he suffered, and why he had to die, was because of your sin and my sin. Are you getting my point? By the power of that shed blood, he paid up every debt that anybody ever incurred in the process of living a life. By the power of that shed blood, he wiped out every handwriting of ordinances written against anyone who will agree to believe. He went up to heaven with his blood like a lamb that was slain. He presented that blood before the judgment seat of God. Are you getting my point? And that blood washed away all your sins. And when that was done, death could no longer hold him down under his power. Therefore, he rose again from the dead. When Jesus rose again from the dead, it was a sign that you have been forgiven. When Jesus rose again from the dead, it was a sign that I was forgiven. When Jesus rose again from the dead, it was a sign that all the curses over your life were removed. If you believe all these things, please say amen.
Amen.
You know why I'm saying this? Because Christians still go around trying to break curses. If you ever try that, it means you don't believe the things I've said. Yes, now. I mean, you just said amen, that all the curses in your life were removed. A woman will tell you that the reason why I've not married is because I'm cursed. Well, maybe if you're a non-believer, I will agree. But if you're a Christian, it's a lie. And the reason why it appears like that is because you have given an excuse to Satan. So that spiritual problem is you have created it by ignorance and agreeing with what is wrong. And it's following you about. A man will say, the reason why, you know, the first business I did, it did not work. The second one I did not work. The third one I did not work. Every time I try to do something, it doesn't work. They say, why? Then, of course, you know, I don't like to say these things, but I have to say them because they are true. A lot of people who go around calling themselves pastors and prophets are just looking for food to eat. Let's get that one clear. Let's not deceive ourselves. This job, if you know how to do it well, it can be well-paying. If you know what I mean. When I say do it well now, I don't mean do it well. I mean do it well, the worldly well. There are pastors that say, you tell their landlord, I'll pay you on Monday. Or they are owing somebody some money. I'll pay you on Monday. Why? I can't pay you on Wednesday. Monday. Why? Because on Sunday, there's church service. And that day, he's going to come powerfully anointed. Not because of your problems, but because of his own problems. You are going to have to sow a dangerous seed to solve the problems in somebody's life. You think it's your life, but it's actually his life. And on Monday, he's going to settle all his debts. And anytime school is about to open again and the children are going to school, service will change. It sounds funny, but these things happen. There are those that open shops. Some people are selling clothes. Do you understand? In their own shops. Some are selling food. Some are selling electrical appliances. Some are even selling Bibles. But for some people, their shop is to sell prayers that don't work, but you don't know anyway. So some church, I'm sorry, yo, please, I don't mean any offense. I have nobody in mind. I'm not even thinking of TB Joshua. I'm just talking. I'm just talking my own. It's true now. So I have nobody in mind. I'm just talking. No, God is my witness. I wasn't thinking, if I was not even thinking of anyone, I was just talking. Even the name that came out of my mind, I didn't think of him. I just said something. Do you understand my point? Yes, because I wanted to know the truth. Sometimes people do those things, for that reason they don't tell people the truth. That is why you start breaking curses with money. One of our sisters wrote me once, he asked me a question. He said, Banky, I said, yes. He said, a man came to our church and said that Jesus only died to free us from the curse of the law. Every other curse, we have to free ourselves from it. I said, what does he mean? I don't want to tell you the kind of church. You will fall down if I tell you. This is supposed to be a Bible-believing church. I mean, for my dear sister to be going to that church, it has to be a Bible-believing church. But they moved pastors around. That was a new pastor that just came. So I said, okay, how did he say he should break the curse now? He said, the man put the basket down and said, if it is a goat you want to use to break the curse today, you put the price of a goat inside there. He even said some very, very foolish things, which I should tell you so that in case somebody says it to you, you won't believe them. He said that maybe your father went to a shrine to go and dedicate, to promise that when they give birth to you, they will bring a cow. Now you've been born. The gods are chasing you around asking for their cow. I'm not joking. I am not joking what I'm telling you. So the man put basket down and said, put money inside there to pay for the cow that you did not give to the gods. I felt like saying that, are you their agent? Because if the gods are asking for their cow, and you brought it to church now, are they now members of this congregation? Because if that's not the case, you will still have to pay. Do you understand my point? His logic is totally upside down because the ghost spirits are not coming to church. They're not supposed to come to church. And since you are not going to go and submit it in the shrine, so what is your power for collecting it on their behalf? You know, Christians still fall for these things every day, thinking that that is the cause of their problems. I don't have to go over it. Some of you here have done it a few years. It has not worked. Do you know why? That's actually the message I'm preaching today. This is my message, how curses work. There are many things about it. The basic thing about this life is when people disobey God, they bring curses into their life. That's the basic thing. That is the basic thing. The first curse was because of disobedience. God said to Adam, simply, he said, because you have hearkened to the voice of your wife and eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat of it, therefore, cursed is the ground because of you. It was disobedience to the word of God that brought the curse in the first place. Let's get that one clear. Do you understand what I'm going to say? Now, but the thing I want to emphasize today, I'm talking about how to change your life. The thing I want to emphasize today is that Abiathar had a curse running in his family indeed. He had it. But it did not alight upon him. And I have a number of reasons which I'm just thinking about why it couldn't alight upon. Number one, he was a priest. Now, I don't mean the special office of being a priest. But I mean that maybe because he was always offering sacrifices. Therefore, the curses, because that's divine principle, was the curses were, or the curse was covered by the blood that was shed regularly. Do you understand my point? Maybe that was what happened to him. But most importantly, is the fact that until he joined a conspiracy against the will of God, as expressed by David in the life of Solomon, until he joined that conspiracy, that curse did not alight upon him. And I'm saying to you, the only reason a curse will move down a family and still be hanging upon a Christian, it is simply because the Christian does not depart from walking according to the order of that family. I want to say to everybody who is here, because an African mentality, this is our attachment to our culture. Be careful. Did you hear what I said? I will say it again. This attachment to culture, be careful. Rabbi Zacharias said something, he was quoting somebody else. He said, culture is a cloak of religion. What it means is this. That anytime you see culture, it is founded upon the faith and the beliefs of the people. Yeah, that's what he said. What I'm saying so is that sometimes people keep on attaching themselves to these so-called curses, not because they are cursed in themselves, but simply because certain behavioral patterns always bring forth divine judgment. I say this all the time. You know, there's something I started preaching recently, and of course, that day, I was about to leave my home when the Holy Spirit gave me inspiration, and I suddenly stopped. The scripture just came to my mind. He said, this is the will of God concerning you. Your sanctification. In fact, literally, this is the will of God concerning you. Sanctification. That's what Paul said. Suddenly it hit me. That the will of God is not, should we do a program in Sunshine Guest House and call it how to change your life or not? The will of God, that may be the plan of God for that day. But the will of God is sanctification. As an example, why do you want to do programs? Why? Sometimes we pastors, we do it. Man, we need money for next year's activity, so we do a program. So that we can get money. We can do it, you know, we pastors. Okay, but they do that, you do that once in a while? Don't worry, I know he does it. If he does it, listen to me. Let me tell you what happened to him. He will get there, he won't be able to talk. Now, so you go freeze. They will have to come and call me to deliver him. And if I'm not around, don't worry. Tokpe will have to hold the husband that cannot talk till I come back. The Lord is good. Now, the will of God there is what is the motive? What are you trying to achieve? What is the motivation in your heart? Are you getting my point? How are you thinking? Now, I'm going to something now. So sometimes people tell me that, what is the will of God? I'm back to it now. I can't help it. It always goes that way. What is the will of God concerning marriage? I have only one word for that for today. The will of God concerning marriage for you is called sanctification. Don't believe your villagers. They are lying. That's the will of God. Do you understand my point? That's the will of God. The sanctification for today is don't believe them. They are lying. When they tell you, now let me tell you something, be very, very careful. When they tell you, don't marry from the next village, ask them why. Now, the why is actually not explained. Why is I not agree? Do you understand my point? There are different kinds of why. There's why, please explain. What happened? There is why in why. You know the way we do why. You know, there's one English I heard when I came to Enugu. Before I came to Enugu, it was why not. You understand my point? When I got to Enugu, it became what? Why? He said, do you think they have food there? Yes. Are you sure? Why? So I told the guy, I don't know. I'm asking you. He said, why? You know. It took me a few months to get the point that he was answering me. When he said why, what he actually meant was, that's how a normal Englishman would say, why not? That is like saying that, of course they do. I mean, you know. All right? So I'm telling you now, next time they tell you something like that, tell them why. That kind of why. And what you are saying is that you don't accept, you don't believe. You know why I'm saying that? I'll tell you my reason. Because what is going on inside your heart, I said at the beginning, it's affecting what comes to you. Yeah, it's affecting what comes to you. Listen, the assignment you have, that's what we're talking about this time around. In fact, the rest of the days is to talk about how to do it. The assignment you have is to change how your mind is working. That's how to change your life. That is how to change your life. There are so many things to say because there are so many confusions in the mind of Christians. The assignment you have, in fact, you know, that young lady I was telling you about, I went to preach somewhere. The mother was talking to me, you know, a few days ago. The young lady has said that she was concerned about her future. So what she decided to do was to check whether she has sowed enough seeds for her future. So when she was not so sure, she said, okay, subsequently, I will be sowing more seeds. And what does she mean by seed? Young teenage girl, anytime my mother gives me money, anytime I get money, I will cut a portion, go to church, drop my offering basket, and say it is a seed for my future. Now, you now say, what is wrong with that mindset? I'll tell you. That mindset negates grace. Do you hear what I said? That mindset drives grace away from her life. Now, this is why I'm talking about that. I said, change the way you reason. There are many Christians, till today, they go around life expecting God to do for them because they have done for Him. Did you hear what I said? Now, you say, what is wrong with that? I'm explaining to you. Your thinking pattern, the processes in your mind, they actually are forming a spiritual atmosphere around you, deciding whether good will come to you or good will not come to you. And I know I took a pause when I was talking about the marriage matter, all right? I just want to explain a few things. You go around life thinking that God owes me because I have done for Him. Actually, what you have done is that you have removed the power of grace to send you into breakthrough. What you have done is to bring yourself under the curse of Adam, which says, from the sweat of your brow, you will eat bread. You don't realize it, but what has happened is that you have placed yourself in a place where progress is difficult. You will make some progress, and that's where the mistake is. You will not think it is working because you are competing yourself with people who are as cursed as Adam. Do you get my point? So you are putting more effort than them. You are getting more bread than them. All of you are operating the same principle. With the sweat of our brows, we eat bread. Why? Because you go around life with a mindset. You don't expect grace. You think you do, but you don't expect grace. You don't expect favor. You still think what comes to me is what I have put out there. Now, you don't have to say it. It's just inside. You say, what should I think? Let me quickly drop that one. Then I'll go into what I was saying. You should think, this is how you should reason. As I'm going out in life, what have I done to get anything? Nothing. It's irrelevant. Jesus has done everything, so I will get everything. I'm going out in life, I'm tapping into the grace of Christ. Say, what did you do to deserve this? Jesus has done everything for me to deserve anything. Again, it's an attitude. You don't have to even, you have not even said anything really. You're just going around. But the thing is so powerful in your mind, I'm saying to you, it generates a spiritual atmosphere around you and it's pulling good into your life. Back to what I was saying. You don't say anything, you know, talk about the will of God. You know, I told you about the will of God. He said, what's the will of God on marriage? I said, don't listen to your villagers. So they said, don't marry from the next village. So, you are going around. You are not fighting anybody. You come to church. In fact, the brother that you are in the same technical team, you understand, or ushers, or whatever in church, the choir, is from the next village and you love him. He loves you like any other Christian. Are you getting my point? You don't, if he's sick and he's about to die and they say he needs a kidney, you give him your kidney because you're a good Christian and you have two. You know, so you're not thinking anything negative towards him. But you have put something in your heart which says, my father, my mother, my uncles, the villagers said, don't marry from the next village. Now hear ye the word of the Lord. No matter how much you pray to know the will of God, you will never know it. You know why? David said something. He said, your words or commandments I have hidden in my heart. Why? So I will not sin against you. Bear that in mind. The commandments of the villagers I have hidden in my heart, therefore I will disobey the Lord. This is where I turned it. It is what you hide inside your heart that decides who you obey. That's what I'm trying to explain. So when you hide a particular principle inside your heart, even though you don't say anything, you go around every day, you don't realize why. And let me say another thing to you. You will say that, this is how we will reason, that marriage is the only one that will be difficult. Unfortunately, it's not like that. You can hold that mindset in a place and it affects your business. Because these are spiritual principles. You hold this mindset that is said, so because as you are, you know, because one of the things you find out is that if you don't rightly discern the body of Christ, your life is in trouble. As a Christian, to fully understand, and then just drop this one again. This is the greatest of foolishness that has come up in recent times. Tell your neighbor, greatest of foolishness. He's not a member of our church. No. What's your problem? I didn't say that one now. Olayinka, why did you start it? I said, tell your neighbor, this is the greatest of the problems. That's what I was saying. Now, and I'm now telling you the gist of the problems. Before we're talking about, it's not from my village, right? No, it's from the next village. Now, they now say, he's not from our church. That one is the height of foolishness. There are things you hear. You say, are there Christians that said that? The annoying part is all this, even all this new generation Pentecostal churches. Even if it's Catholics and Anglicans now, we'll understand that they've been in this madness for a very long time. So we are used to it. We want them to repent. To do you understand my point? But these boys who started church 15 years ago, some of the bishops are my age. Do you understand my point? And you see one small girl telling you, say that, I can't marry him, he's not in our church. I will beat you, beat your bishop. What's your problem? You know, the thing is so annoying. Small, small children. Because they go to Dominion City, Christ Embassy, Redeem. Kingdom World Ministries. Let me just mention that one before they say that I'm abusing other people. Or the Cornerstone Church. Let me just mention Pastor Murphy's there. So that it won't be as if I'm abusing somebody. If you are thinking like that, hear the word of the Lord. You came in today. The will of God is far from you. It is. Totally far. I'm talking about how to change your life. You know, so that's what I'm talking about. Remember where I began from? It's when people do things like this that they automatically connect with curses. Let me not be that way I began from, you know. I digress from that again, talking about the will of God matter, all right? To let you know that how people reason. They don't have to say anything. It is just deep inside their hearts. And that is what is affecting what is happening to them. Listen, as a Christian, you can't be cursed. What happens is that you imbibe the mindset of, you know, our tradition. You imbibe that mindset. And you don't realize it. Listen to me. Let me tell you something about God. Sometimes God begs. Let me say it in English so that those in Australia can understand. Sometimes God gets angry. The Bible didn't say he doesn't get angry. The Bible says so. What did he say about his anger? He's slow to anger. But if you are slow, eventually you get there. And I'm trying to tell you the kind of things that make God get there fast is when he says one thing and we directly disobey him. That one suddenly puts speed in his vehicle. Even though it was slow to anger before, suddenly it gets to anger fast. Go and read Numbers chapter, because of time, I can't read it now. But you know the story, Numbers chapter 13, Numbers chapter 14. When they went into to go and spy the promised land, and they came back. And they said simply, we can't enter. And you know what God said? He said, these people conspired against me. They didn't say anything more that we can't enter. To enter now by force? Is it compulsory to enter? If I don't want to enter, can't I go back to Egypt? Is it not my life? I do what I like with it. That's what you'll have thought. If it's not my, we expect that God will say that, okay, those who don't want to enter, please on this side. Those who want to enter, you can please come and start entering. Those who don't want to enter, return to Egypt. It's a free country. Come chop, no become walk. You know, God didn't say so. What did he do? He reacted in anger. And he said to Moses, these people have conspired against me. He said, for that reason, all of them will die in the wilderness. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? That what I'm saying here is this. So it is not, we don't have the luxury to decide which part of God we want to agree with and which part we don't want to agree with. That's what I'm going to explain by that. We don't have that luxury. If you're a Christian, you have to agree with him totally. That's just what I'm trying to explain. Because when we hold on to that which is not in agreement with divine order, I'll use that marriage as an example. I told the story before that one day. You know, when my younger brother got married, Deji, when I was on that priest that day, oh, when I got to the house, one of my aunties that came for the wedding said that, hey, Vanki, thank you very much. I said, what did I do? That I carried her matter to church to go and preach. I said, auntie, me carry your matter to go to. You know what was annoying her? What she was saying was her matter. Because when I was going to marry, she said that thing that time. I was angry. I didn't listen to her. Then my brother too went my way. So we used to have that discussion. So I now went to church. I was now explaining the reason why people miss the will of God in marriage. I said, number one, she's not from my place. Then my auntie said, hey, you're using me to preach. Because she and I had that discussion before. We disagree with God in one area. Listen, the problems are not limited to that area. They are not. They are not limited to that area. They affect many other aspects of our lives. That's what I'm going to explain. How do people buy into curses? Let me not forget. That was what I started with. It is simply by holding on to thoughts and principles that disobey God. That's all. Listen, the summary of my message today is this. If indeed you are a believer, you cannot be cursed. Somebody say amen. The truth is that Jesus Christ of Nazareth died, and by the power of his blood, he washed away every curse that was spoken or written against you. That's a matter of fact. That is a matter of fact. What I'm just explaining, however, is that many people rebuy curses for themselves simply because they take divine principles, because God cannot be separated, you know, like you can look at him from different aspects, but you have to take him together. Like I say all the time, there are divine precepts which are different from divine promises. Both of them are the word of God. You cannot inherit the promises while neglecting the precepts. And when people walk away from the precepts of God, they seem all the time to be walking under a curse. I start businesses, my business never do well. Listen to me, it is not because you are cursed. It is because you have thought processes, mindsets. Now, there are two sides. One, the way you think. Two, as a consequence, the things you do. Do you understand my point? And until you change that attitude, you are just playing into the hand of the curse that was released into the house of Eli. That's what I'm explaining. Abiathar would have escaped the curse of Eli if he would just have agreed to walk with David all his life. David says, Solomon is the king. Just say, yes, my Lord, and leave it there. He would never have known that he came from the family of Eli. Nothing was said to us about where he came from until we heard that he was removed from priesthood to fulfill a promise, a word that was released to Eli in Shiloh. I said, oh, you mean he's a relative? Do you understand my point? What did he know? That's one of the things people, when you are interpreting scriptures, you will say, see a word is given. It doesn't come to pass. Go and prophesy against Nineveh. That was what God told Jonah. Yet, Jonah, the Ninevites said, this prophecy won't come to pass. Just watch it. They were not saying God cannot make it come to pass. Now, I'm putting many words together now. They said, let's see what we do. They gathered and repented and prayed and begged for mercy. And God suspended the judgment that was supposed to come down in 40 days. In the same manner, curses, and let me tell you something. There are different ways by which divine principles work. I said, Jesus wiped away your curses. Say amen. There's another thing that he did. The way by which he wiped it away is simple. He just removed you from the arena. Did you hear what I said? Let us assume now. They said that everybody that lives on earth, we have a particular problem. So Jesus wiped away that curse. But he said, well, why even bother? He takes you away from earth and puts you on Mars. You are the same person, but you don't live on earth anymore. And that curse said, if you live on earth. So even though they say the curse applies to you, they say, that's if I live on earth. I'm making an issue here. There's what is called living in the kingdom of God. So that even if Jesus didn't bother to wipe away the curse, once you leave this physical arena and plant yourself in the kingdom of God, automatically you are out. And the mistake Christians make, people make, is a lot of times not realizing that they leave that kingdom, they leave it behind, and come down to the earth. I'll give an example. I was giving an example before about business. A man is doing business, and my business is never doing well. I think I'm under a curse, and I'm saying it is not true. This is what will happen. This could be the scenario. When natural people go to the market to do anything, they are doing business or they start a business, what comes to their mind first of all is, I need to make money. Are you getting my point? And listen, that thought process is cursed. Let me say it again. When I put money in front, I walk automatically under a curse. Many Christians who are sowing seed for more money, they are not blessed because money is still a god to them. I know some people are saying, what are you talking about? Let me quickly drop it for you because my time is running, like I said, very fast. Why do Christians do business? This is what Christians put in front. Two things. Listen, if you have been having problems for a long time, just hear it. This is the word of God for you for this evening. There are two things Christians put in front when they want to do business. One, I must bless somebody. Two, I must walk in righteousness. I know the next thing they say about money, all other monies shall be added unto me. That is their attitude. That is, if I want to do a business, I can't see how I will positively impact somebody. I walk away, look for something else. Are you getting my point? That is, when I start doing business, what is more important to me is that I always do right. And I maintain a good name. Sometimes you will be tested and you will lose money. But listen to me, that is when you are about to start breaking through. As long as you walk according to the way of the world, which says, oh boy, man, this one is business. Oh, you are perpetually under a curse. If you like, go to the village, dig the tree, dig the roots down. And pour all kinds of blood inside it. Do deliverance. You know deliverance in our business. They don't charge money, just money for breaking a fast. Do all the deliverance you want to do. As long as you are operating according to the same principles as the guy next door, you are under the same curse. I said how curses work. My emphasis today is, the man, the woman that does not do the works of Abiathar or the works of the sons of Eli does not participate in the judgment of Eli even if they are from the same family. Let me say it one more time. You might be from the family of Eli, Just watch the things that the sons of Eli did. Don't go near those things. And you're automatically delivered from the curse that was released to Eli. What am I going to explain to the children of God today? Listen, we're talking about how to change your life. First of all, I want you to understand that there's no curse upon your life unless you, by your own works, and my emphasis for today, because I'm closing now, my emphasis for today is that by your thought processes, you have agreed with the people around you. That is why things are happening to you the way it happens to them. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. And I'm challenging the children of God. I'm challenging the people of God today. I am saying to you, come out from amongst them and be what? Separate. Come out from amongst them and be separate in your attitude towards life. Come out from among them and be separate in the way you reason about everything around you. That is what makes a Christian different. One of our brothers the other day, he's into politics. You know, we were in our house praying with him. And if I still pray for him again today, and one thing I kept on saying while we were praying, I said, dear Lord, I said it that day. I said, no, we're just talking simply. I said, God, you know this is not about money. He's running for elective office. Do you understand? And we were praying. I said it in the hearing of everybody, and I said it in private. I said, God, you know this is not about money. He's a young man who, we have interacted for a very long time. He knows the word of God in that area. That we are not going into politics for money. We will not sign any agreement with anybody. I hope you are getting my point. That we are. This politics is not about money. We are not looking for a job. We are saying that we are the light of the world. And this is a part of the areas of life in which we are to shine the light of Christ. And we are saying that men can go to Babalawos. They can go to big men. We will go to God and he will elevate us to any high place in this life. That's a Christian's mindset. And this, you know, I said it that day, and I'm saying it again in your hearing. Anybody who decides to stand against the progress of such a person, he just dies for nothing. Who won't carry your name to church or shrine? Who get time to pray by you? But if a man comes and says, because the Bible says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. He said, he that is born of God is above all. He that comes from above is above all. It is not by going, that's the mistake. It's not by going to church and raising your hands. No, it's about facing life with a different mindset, facing life with a different perspective. It is not that me too, I have to build a house, one in Abuja, one in Enugu. Once you start talking like that, that is why God has not, no, God finds it easier to put a Christian in political office. You know why? A non-believer. Do you know why? He said, when he chops money, he has not disgraced anybody. No, in case you are wondering why Christians don't make it a law, that's why. God says that when they misbehave, they haven't disgraced anybody. So why don't you put your people? He said, these people, these are my children, they never reach that level. They never reach that level. If I try it, disgrace all over heaven. So let's just leave this matter like this. Promote him to a small level and leave him there. He said, go. His pastor is lying with my word. How him, Munko? And I'm going to talk about that tomorrow. You can't be hearing a wrong thing and do a right thing. What you do in life is dependent upon what you continue to hear. You can never be hearing a wrong thing and think your life will turn out right. It is not possible. Let me say that one, then I close with it. You can never, listen to these words, you can never in life continue to hear what is wrong, sit under what is wrong, and think your life will turn out right. It is not possible. One of my sisters coming the other day was telling me, complaining about some of our brethren. I said, by the time she talked it, I said, wait now, which church did you say they go to? I said, what? Then you are still asking me where the problems are from. Two Christians are going to church. Husband and wife always quarreling. And every Sunday they come to church and their pastor has it in his mind, that this church is more important than a marriage. He says it softly, you know, the different ways. And he says, in fact, if your wife, the two of you don't agree, you can just go your separate ways. He doesn't have to say it straight though. And you hear that every day. After 5 years, no matter how much you love your wife, people will start quarreling. That's a matter of fact. You can never. Once I went to the church, one man was talking. I just said, my God. Also, something like a bishop. This country, who said it's a nation? Where was the conference with which we agreed to come together? I just told myself, nobody in this church is praying for this country and God is here. Because their pastor says over them regularly that this country is not a nation. It's not a country. That it's important that everybody breaks and goes separate ways. You can never be hearing a wrong thing and do the right thing. It's not possible. What you do is a reflection of what you are constantly hearing. Let me say that one so I can close with it. Listen, if you want your life to turn around for the better, change what you are hearing. As a result of the change in what you are hearing, what you are thinking will become different. As a result of what you are thinking, what you are doing becomes different. Once you rearrange all of these things, automatically you are detached from the curse that was given to the house of Eli. Are you getting my point? Because as a matter of fact, as a Christian, you are not cursed at all. That is not the reason why you are having problems. That's all I want to say today. That is not the reason why you are having problems. I am not going to say how to change your life. I will start breaking the curses in your life. I am going to call you to repentance. I'm going to call you to a change of your thinking pattern. I am going to call you to a change of your value system. Let me say that again. I am going to call you to a change of your value system. Until those things are changed, your life is not changing anywhere. Your deliverance is not out there. It's not in my hands. There is no special anointing for you this weekend, though. Don't bring your bottle of oil near here. Are you getting my point? I'm serious. Look, listen. Anointing oil is scripture. I hope you understand that. The Bible said, is anyone sick amongst you? Let him call upon the elders of the church. Let them pray over him. All right? Anointing him with oil. The prayer of faith will save the sick. So anointing with oil is scriptural. He said, what about mantle? Handkerchiefs, aprons were taken from the body of Paul. And it was placed upon the sick. And they were healed. And demons were flying out of those who were possessed. That's what the Bible calls special manifestations. They do happen. Are you getting my point? But I'll give you one word as I close. They said concerning Jesus. Jesus spoke. He said, go and tell John the Baptist what you both see and hear. He said, the blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised. He said, but the poor, what happened to them? They heard the gospel. They had the gospel preached to them. Jesus never laid hands on the sick, on the poor, to change his destiny. Jesus did not lay hands on the sick, on the poor, to change their destiny. He saw them blind. He laid hands. He put spit. He put clay. He did everything. They were healed. They were deaf and dumb. He spoke to them. They began to see. When they were poor, he sat them down and said, let me teach you the new way of thinking. Let me tell you about the kingdom. It will take time as I change your mind for you to become rich. So he said to them, go and tell John, this is what I do for those who need their lives turned around. I preach to them. I teach them. And I'm saying to you this weekend, I will teach. Say amen.
Amen.
You will learn. Say amen.
Amen.
Your heart will be changed. Say amen.
Amen.
And your life will be changed.
Amen.
If you believe that, rise to your feet. Let us pray. Let's just give the Lord thanks. I want us to close now. Just say, Lord, I thank you. Now, I want to just ask you simple. Just ask the Lord a simple. Say, Lord, this weekend, there is a word I need to hear, which will change my life. Send it to me. It's a very important prayer. You have 30 seconds to pray that prayer. Say, Lord, there is a word I need to hear. There is a word I need to hear. There is a word I need to hear. It will change my life. It will turn me around. Send that word to me this weekend. There is a word I need to hear. Lord, I'm asking you to send it to me this weekend. Give me the spirit, the boldness, the ability to obey that word. First of all, to understand it. Let it enter into my heart. Give me understanding in that word. Then give me the boldness to obey it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I give you thanks. Because you have gathered us today to feed us for this whole weekend with your truth. Lord, in answer to the prayers we prayed now, we know your truth will come again in a greater measure in subsequent meetings in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For today, Lord, we say thank you. Lord, we say thank you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's share the grace in fellowship. Oh, sorry. Those of us who go to Kingdom World, we'll share one, then we'll share the general one. Those of you who don't know it, just listen to us, all right? Then you learn it later. Maybe tomorrow we'll share it. Okay, our magazine is inside there. Our tracks and magazines are free. Pick them as you are going out. Do you understand what I'm saying? They are free. All right, let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. That last line is easy. I'm sure everybody can do that. Let's do it one more time. We normally personalize it. All right? So let's do it one more time. This is my season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus. Give a blessing to your neighbor. Say, this is your season of fruitfulness.
This is your season of fruitfulness.
Give another neighbor.
This is your season of fruitfulness.
All right, share up, brethren. As you go, peace goes with you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, God bless you.